visitors with us. If you left Play After Services last week, you missed an exciting time. We baptized Emerald, I'm on the slide, Emerald, and in Christ. We have a new sister in Christ this morning, and she's here this morning, so make sure if you haven't seen, got to meet her last week, be sure you meet her this week. You still see the gospel is still working today. It's calling men and women to be servants of Jesus Christ. And we're so thankful for that. In John chapter 4:5 and verse 4, John states that this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Jesus, the apostle, tells us that we can overcome the world, its influences, its temptations, its condemnations, by our faith. Faith is the victory that allows us to overcome this. And Paul told the brethren in Ephesians chapter 2, he says, "For grace have you been saved through faith, that our faith will save us through grace." You can see how important that our faith is. And Satan will do anything he can to destroy that faith. As we see in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, Satan is going around as a roaring lion seeking to whom he may destroy. He doesn't want our faith to succeed. He doesn't want our faith to grow and be strong, because he knows what our faith can do for us. We'll be able to overcome the world. But he wants the world to devour us, and our faith in particular. He doesn't want us to overcome the world. He wants the world to influence us. And he wants us to fail. And he loves people with little faith, because little faith does little good. Jesus made this statement from time to time to some important people. This phrase, "O ye of little faith." It's surprisingly who he said this to. We see in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 26, when Peter was walking on the water, remember the disciples were out in a boat trying to get across the other side, the storm came up, and they couldn't get across, and so they're rowing like crazy, and Jesus shows up, walking on the water. Peter asks Jesus, "Let me do it as well," and so Jesus invites him out, and he's walking on the water with their Lord. Soon, though, he looks at the waves that are round about him. Fear starts to set in. That faith now starts to whimper, and he starts to sink. This is the one time, one of the times when Jesus mentioned this word, this phrase as well, "O ye of little faith," to one of his disciples. To a disciple that was out there at the one time, walking on the water. And yet Jesus said, "You have little faith." This other time we see it in Matthew chapter 16, in verses 5 through 12, when Jesus was talking to his disciples. They had come across the sea. Let's just go ahead and read it. Let's refresh our memory of this incident. Matthew chapter 16. And let's look in verses 5 through 12. "When the disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said to them, 'Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees.' And they reasoned among themselves, saying, 'It is because we have taken no bread.' Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, 'O ye of little faith, why reason among yourselves because you have not brought bread? Do not you understand, neither remember the 5 loaves and the 5,000, and how many baskets you took up? Neither the 7 loaves and the 4,000, and how many baskets you took up? How is it that you do not understand? And I spake not unto you concerning the bread, that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Then understood they how that he bade them not to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees." As Jesus overheard what his disciples were saying, disciples were concerned because they don't have any bread. They forgot the bread. We came across the sea. We should have got the bread and brought it with us, but we forgot. And now Jesus is mad at us. We're in big trouble. What are we going to do now? Jesus said. Don't you understand? See, they were ignorant of some of the teachings of Jesus. Jesus showed him some examples of the great power that he had to multiply just a few loaves and a few fish to feed thousands of people, yet they didn't understand. He says, "Oh, ye of little faith." Of course, they're just fishermen. I mean, fishermen, they're not supposed to be smart when it comes to other things other than fishing, are they? Jesus is not saying that they're stupid. They're just ignorant of what he's been trying to tell them and trying to show them all of these times. I'm going to talk to you this morning about this lack of understanding and how it can destroy our faith. Some people, they walk in ignorance. They just don't know what the word is talking about, and they don't care. They've got so much faith, and they say, this is as far as I'm going to go. I want to talk to us this morning about how dangerous that is. To stop studying, to stop asking questions, to stop inquiring of what the Word of God is saying. We talk about ignorance this morning. We're talking about not knowing or understanding something. You're not stupid, you just don't know about something. All of us are ignorant in some things. In fact, we were all born this way. We didn't understand anything when we were born except this little thing in the middle of our down here in the lower part of our body there. When it aches, I cry and I get something stuck in my mouth. And it makes me feel better. We don't know. We don't understand things. But we're taught. And we are taught, we understand these things. And these things become important to us as we learn. We understand and we act out accordingly. Some things, however, we may never understand. When it comes to electricity, I don't understand how electricity makes a difference, whether there's a wire reaching down to the ground, hitting the ground, or the wire's not up there. I don't understand how electricity works. It's beyond my capacity. I've never studied it. I've never had anybody try to explain it to me. I just don't care about it. But there are some other things that are important to us, that should be important to us. That being the Word of God. You see, when it comes to spiritual matters, many people would rather just be ignorant than do anything about it. What I don't know won't hurt me to have me of this attitude. This is no good. Jesus said, people like this have little faith. And he is not happy about that at all. The problem in Matthew chapter 16 is the disciples needed to be aware of the doctrine of these false teachers, these Jews. They weren't understanding what Jesus was trying to tell them. They thought he was talking about dinner, but he was not. What is ironic is that Satan understands about Jesus. He knew Jesus could feed himself. Remember in Matthew chapter 4 when Jesus was being tempted by Satan in the garden or in the wilderness? After the 40 days, he comes to Jesus and says, turn these stones into bread. I know you're hungry. You haven't eaten anything in 40 days. I know you're hungry. Just turn these big stones here into bread and you can eat. You can fill your stomach. Of course, Jesus knew he would not never listen to Satan, never do as Satan bid him. Jesus had the power to turn those stones into bread at any time he wanted. But his disciples didn't understand this. And Jesus called them men of little faith. I'd like to look at this morning why ignorance is so bad. What's the problem with being ignorant spiritually? Number one, ignorance is going to keep us from submitting to the will of God. In Matthew chapter 7, in verse 21, Jesus was talking to some people. And they thought that they were doing right. They thought they were doing good. Notice what Jesus says. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he that entereth that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. He that does the will of the Father will enter the kingdom of heaven. So what's the problem? Problem is, some people are ignorant of this fact. In Romans chapter 10, Paul wrote to the brethren in Rome. In this letter he wrote to them in Romans chapter 10. Notice what he writes to them in verse 1 through 3. Romans 10, 1 through 3. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of the righteousness of God and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Paul says in verse 1 that Paul is concerned about the Jews' salvation. He wants them all to be saved. Verse 2, it says it's not that they are not trying. They're very zealous for God. They want to please him, and they think they are pleasing him. But what's the problem? Verse 3, they're ignorant of his righteousness. What he deems to be righteous. And they are substituting their own righteousness for God's righteousness in its place. And by doing that, Paul says they have not submitted to God's will. And they will never be saved this way, being ignorant of God's will. Instead of listening to Jesus and his apostles and getting the proper understanding, they're rejecting that and doing their own will, what pleases them. By doing this, Paul says that they are ignorant and not submitting to the will of God. And this, God called, and what he calls God's righteousness. Why is ignorance so bad? Because it keeps us from submitting to the will of God. We sit instead put our own righteousness in its place. And this will never work. Also, ignorance is bad because it alienates us from God. We become strangers to him, not sons and daughters, but foreigners. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul is talking about the Gentiles, those that are not following God. Well, why aren't they not? Why aren't they following God? Notice in Ephesians 4, verses 17 and 18. Ephesians 4, beginning verse 17. It says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Their understanding of God's ways have been darkened. They don't understand, and they're not doing anything about it. They have blinded their hearts to God and his ways. Because of that, they're alienated or isolated from God because of it. They're not stupid, but they just don't understand. And they don't want to understand what the will of God is. They blocked it out of their hearts. They chose to do this. By doing this, they have become estranged to God. And God doesn't know that any longer. But we Christians are better than this. Why? Notice in verse 20. He says, but you have not so learned this. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him, and the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Why are Christians different than these Gentiles? It's because we learn. We come to an understanding about God. We were taught about him, and we listened. We didn't block it out. We absorbed it all in. We are not like these ignorant Gentiles, but we are his sons and his daughters. They are alienated from God because of their ignorance. Not only that, ignorance alienates us from God, but it keeps us in mediocrity. We're not hot or cold. We're just in the middle of the road, so to speak. Jesus had a lot to say to the brethren in Revelation chapter 3 in the church of Laodicea because they were just like this. Notice what Jesus thought about them. Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. And unto the angel of the church of Laodicea write, these things unto the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. And I word that thou wert cold or hot. So that because thou wert lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and I have need of nothing, and thou knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Jesus taught to the church at Laodicea, you're not hot, but you're not cold. But you know what? You make me sick. I want to spew you out of my mouth. This kind of faith, a lukewarm faith, makes Jesus sick. Just enough faith to feel comfortable. Well, I'm better than those sinners down the street. But not hot enough to do anything of value for your faith. They sit, they complain, while nothing is doing done, and they won't lift a finger to help. Jesus says this kind of faith makes me sick to my stomach. Ignorance will keep us this way. In Matthew chapter 16 and 6 and 8, at times when Jesus' disciples should have been able to anchor their faith in Jesus, and they were worried about the physical things in life instead. The storms, the time of doubt, the food, where they're going to get their next meal. They needed to have strong faith. That Jesus would take care of them, that he has the power. But instead they worry, they fear, they doubt, and they remain ignorant. And this ignorance makes Jesus sick to his stomach. Also, while ignorance is bad, because it keeps us unaware of our real situation. Again, in Revelation chapter 3, where we just had, the church at Laodicea, they were thinking they were so strong. They didn't need anything. But what did Jesus tell them? He says, you think you've got everything in verse 17, because thou sayest I am rich and increased in thy goods, and have need of nothing, and thou knowest not that thou art wretched. You're miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of gold tried of the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and the shame of the nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. And as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore, and repent. What was their lukewarmness doing to them? Verse 17, it was blinding them to the fact that they were wretched, they were miserable, they were poor, they were blind, and they were naked. It was making them unaware of how they really were seen in the eyes of God. It was blinding them to the fact. Well, they were thinking that they were so great, but in the eyes of God, they were not. They must be thinking, oh, God is so proud of us. But in reality, Jesus said, I want to spit you out of my mouth. Jesus said, rather, in verse 18, being lukewarm, he said, do something about it. Buy the gold that's been tried in the fire. Buy the white raiment, signs of purity. It will cover your nakedness. And anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. Because they're not seeing what Jesus is seeing. Their eyes are blinded to what they see. Remaining in ignorance is bad for us spiritually. There no good ever comes out of remaining ignorant of important spiritual matters. We've got to seek to understand and find the meaning of things. It is vital to our salvation, things that we need to know. Let's look at some things now. What causes ignorance? What causes us to be ignorant and not be wise in the eyes of God? Number one, I like to suggest ignoring instructions. Here are some that are teaching on this matter, teaching us things that they've learned and be able to explain it to us so that we may learn, and we ignore their instructions. Remember what Solomon wrote in Proverbs chapter 1, verses 23 and 24, through 24, 23 through 33. Proverbs chapter 1. Begin in verse 23. Turn at my rebuke. Surely I will pour my spirit out on you. I will make words known unto you. Because I have called you and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded. Because you disdain all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes. When your terror comes like a storm, and your destruction comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you. Verse 28. Then you will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would have none of my counsel and despise my every rebuke. Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their own way and shall be filled full with their own fancies. For the turning away of the simple will slay them, and complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without the fear of evil. And you see what Solomon wrote there. He says in verse 23, wisdom says, I will make my words known unto you. I will explain things to you so that you can understand. Verse 33, he says that you will listen to me and you'll be secure. You'll have no fear of evil. But what's the problem? Verse 24, you have refused. You've neglected my counsel. Verse 29, they hated my knowledge and they didn't want to know these things. Verse 30, you would have none of my counsel. And then notice what's going to happen. God is going to say there's going to be a day when this knowledge and this counsel would have helped you, but you wouldn't have anything of it. Now you're going to cry unto me, and God said, I won't listen. You will be on your own. You've ignored me and my teachings all of these times. And now when calamities come upon you, you will have to suffer them on your own. People who ignore teaching and instruction will be ignorant. They'll be foolish in the eyes of God, and will have to suffer in their destruction. Secondly, what causes us to people be ignorant and be wise in their own eyes? We don't need wisdom from God, they say, because we know it all. You ever know anybody like that? They become so wise in their eyes that they won't listen to those who really know. It's so comical when we watch children. So sure that they know what they're doing. They won't listen when you tell them that that's not work. It's not going to work that way, son. You're doing it wrong. But they say, sure it will. And they continue on. We just don't know what we're talking about. Then it fails. And we laugh and they cry. They think they were so wise. It gets sadder and worse is when they grow up. And they still have this same attitude. Only now the stakes are higher. It may not be that bicycle. Now it may be that car that you desperately need and you screwed up. Or that cardboard box. Now we're talking about a real house. The stakes are completely higher. And if the failure comes, much deeper, much more damaging. In the spiritual realm, the same attitude is disaster. It means damnation. Our souls will be lost for eternity. You can listen to what the Apostle Paul, again, wrote to the Romans in the book of Romans, chapter 11. In Romans chapter 11, Paul is talking about believers being grafted into the true vine. That vine being Jesus Christ, the sustainer of all life. It says it didn't matter if these people that were on this vine were Jews or Gentiles. He said the unbelievers were being cut off. They were attached to this vine once. But it doesn't mean that they will stay that way. It depends upon your belief or your non-belief. Notice what he told them in verse 25, Romans chapter 11, and verse 25. He writes, "For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in." Paul says, don't be blind, don't be ignorant of this fact. There will be Jews and Gentiles in the kingdom of God. He says, don't be ignorant of this fact. Not all the Jews are going to be saved, and not all the Gentiles will be saved, but both maybe will be a part of God's kingdom. He wants them to understand that. Don't be ignorant of this fact. He wants to make them wise so that they will know these things. Over a page in Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, Paul tells him again, "For I say, though, through the grace given to me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according to God has dealt every man with the measure of faith." If you still think we know it all, that we know everything, be careful. Being wise in our own eyes will cause us to be ignorant of God's ways. Cause us to reject his teaching, thinking that we know it all. Be forewarned. This is ruin. One more real quick. Actually, a few more. When we pursue personal passions, what feels right to me? This is what pleases me. Again, Solomon wrote in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12, it's this idea of what feels right to me. What do you think about? Proverbs 14 and verse 12. He says, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end is the way of death." We think we know it all. We don't need the wisdom of God. I'm just going to do what pleases me. Seek after things that please me. He says, much to your own destruction. In 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2, Peter is speaking about the false prophets that are going to come. In 2 Peter chapter 2, let's look at what he has to say about some of these. 2 Peter chapter 2, notice in verse 2, he says, "The many shall follow their pernicious ways, and by reason of whom the way of truth shall be even spoken of. And through covetousness they will be feigned words, make merchandise of you, whose judgment now a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not." If we will listen, he says, if you listen to these people, you will be consumed, you will be destroyed. But notice in verses 12 through 15, he says, "But these as natural brute breed beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. And they shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings, while they feast with you. Having eyes full of adultery, that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, sin and heart, that they have been exercised with covetous practices, cursed to children, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who love the wages of unrighteousness." He said here in verse 12 that these false teachers, they don't understand the righteousness of God. They're ignorant. Instead of seeking understanding, they do what they want to do. And so they speak evil of the things of God. They mock them and make fun of them. Verse 13 says, "They gather with other ignorant people, people who are deceived as they are, and they party with them, and they think that this is great." Verse 14, "They have trained their hearts in wickedness. They train not in good things, but in evil things. Verse 15, they have forsaken the right way and have gone astray. They only cared about what makes them feel good. This seems to be right to me. And this is the reason why many people never seek the Lord. They haven't felt the need. I don't need God in my life yet. When I have problems, make a mess of my life, then I will need Him. And I will feel the need then, but then it will be too late. When this is all we're concerned about, things that make us happy, things that feel right to me, ignorance will set in, and faith will be in trouble. I'm going to have to pause here and we'll take this up next week. I'll finish this up. I didn't realize how long a sermon this would be, but I want us to just focus a little bit about ignorance this morning. Some people, that they think they've got enough faith. I've got enough knowledge. I've got enough wisdom. I don't need to study anymore. That's a foolish way to think. We can always learn from God. We can always learn from His Word. I remember a few years back, Paulette and I were at Frank's brother's house, Wendell, been preaching for 60, 70 years, something like that. 88, in his 80s, high 80s, still preaching God's Word. And I noticed every day, he spent 4 hours studying the Word of God. You'd have think he'd had the Bible memorized by this time. 60 plus years, he's been preaching the gospel. Yet he told me there's always something else I can learn. 4 hours a day studying God's Word. Please don't deceive yourself thinking you have enough knowledge, enough to get by. There's no such thing to get by. We need to have a strong faith because in a moment of weakness, Satan's going to find us. He's searching us, watching us, everything that we do. And when he finds that weakness, he's going to leap. He's going to try to destroy us. Don't let that be you. Keep your faith strong. Don't let ignorance destroy you. If you're here this morning and not a child of God, we want to offer you the opportunity this morning to become. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? And he came to earth to save mankind, to die on that cross, become the propitiation for our sins, that sacrifice, that would settle God's punishment for sin for all mankind. Are you willing to repent of your sins, turn from your sinful life, and start serving God? We offer you the opportunity right now this morning. You can be baptized, have your sins forgiven. Jesus said in Mark 16:16, he that believeth that is baptized shall be saved. Is that you this morning? Can we help you do that? We're going to sing a song for your encouragement this morning. If your subject is the Lord's invitation this morning, would you come? Always sing and sing.